Okay, you're listening to Avi Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Masecha Shabbos, Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis. We're starting at the bottom, Kuf Ches Amud Aleph. The Zichru Simon for Kuf Ches, if you had to guess. Something, what does it have to do with? Oh. Well, Kuf Ches is Kach, to take. So over here, it's going to be a pickpocket. Someone who's going to try to take everything, right? Just a big taker trying to take everything. And the three points are, one of them is, as we were just talking about, the writing. Well, actually, I don't know if it's writing on all I know is the using chicken skin for tefillin. Using bird skin, chicken skin for tefillin. It's going to be one. The source for bris milah being on a male, like or actually, I mean that's what he writes, but rather like how we know bris milah. Bris milah we know is a certain orla. How do we know it's the orla on the male organ, and maybe it's, you know, different types of orla a person might have, and so there are two different sources for that. And the third point is something we're going to do right now. So let's start from the mission at the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Beis. This is an Ein Osin Hilmi b'Shabbos. We don't make Hilmi on Shabbos. Shemovra says Rashi, but it's a brine. A brine is a liquid, basically with salt and water and maybe oil and some other things that help pickle all kinds of things, including pickles, right, or cucumbers. And so making this brine on Shabbos is a problem. Aval osa hu esmei hamelach, but you're allowed to make salt water, which sounds kind of like brine. So we're gonna have to explain what that means. Rashi acknowledges this problem. He says, "Mefarshim Gemara, don't worry, we'll get there." We actually get there rather quickly into the Gemara. V'tovel bahen pito v'nosin l'socha tavshil. And once you have the salt water, you can dip your bread into it. You can put it into a cooked dish. This some of this brine, that's fine. Rav Yossi responds, v'halo hu hilmi bein meruba bein muat. But isn't hamelach, isn't that basically a hilmi, whether it's a lot or a little bit? And the Gemara is going to explain this piece as well. Rashi starts to explain what this means. Says Rabbi Yossi, the Elohein mei melach mutarin. This is the mei melach, the salt water that it's mutter to put. Sorry, that it's mutter to make. No sein shemen lechatchila l'socha mayim or l'socha melach. If you first put the oil into the water or into the salt, then it's okay. But if you put the salt or the water first and then the oil, then that is not okay. And we're going to explain all this. So let's take a look at some Rashi's over here. Rashi first says, the halo hu hilmi bein rav bein mat, v'mam rubim asurim af muatim asurim. If a lot is mutter, then which is going to be the Gemara's explanation for the difference between mei melach and the hilmi in the first place. So if a lot is asur, so muatim should also be asur, v'im elu mutarim, af elu mutarin. And if they're, you know what I mean, like it should be the same halacha for both. And then Rashi gives us a heads up of, you know, whether Rav Yossi is speaking l'chumra or l'kula, we'll see that momentarily. The next Rashi, Elohim mutarin, nosin shemen l'socha mayim b'tchil, kodem shita melach, nosin shemen l'socha melach. That before he puts the salt in, he puts the oil there. And then l'socha melach b'tchil, kodem shita melach, or Hamelach betchila kodem sheiten amayim, where you put the salt before the water. The shemen ma'akev, because the oil holds us back. She'ena melach misariv yofe im hamayim, because then it's not going to mix well. The salt won't mix well with the water if the oil's there. Umatiches kocho mios me melach azim, and that's going to weaken its strength from being strong salt water. But you shouldn't put the water and salt first. Even if you put the oil afterwards, and this is the problem, Rashi says, because if you put the salt and water in, and then you put the oil in at the time that you're putting the salt and the water and salt together, it appears like ma'abed, and this is the explanation of the problem, and this is what it's doing here. Ma'abed is tanning. Now the tanning process, right? It's not sitting in your bathing suit in your backyard with the hot sun. So the tanning that we're talking about, the tanning process, is something that was done to strengthen and preserve the hides. Ma'abed is tanning the hides of animals, and what they would do is they would make a solution. So they would like put salt on it and other things, and that would be ma'abed, and that's and so over here we're afraid of something that sounds like a gezer derabanan, atu ma'abed, and therefore we don't want it to look like ma'abed. So that seems to be at least another problem in this discussion. So therefore the order that you put it in, so meaning if you add the oil to the water and then the salt, or the oil to the salt and then the water, that would be okay. And because the oil is going to weaken the potency of the, right, matishes kocho of the meimelach, and therefore it's not this meimelach azin, which I guess would be used for tanning. And as the Gemara is going to elaborate later, the problem of mei melach azin, these strong salt water. So we'll see that soon. Let's take a look at the Gemara. Maika Amar. So what's the Mishnah saying? Amar Bihuda Amar Shmuel Hachi Kamar. Rabbi says in the name of his Rabbi Shmuel, this is what it's saying. Ein osin mei melach merubin, aval osahu mei melach muatin. You can't do a lot, you can do a little. Which is interesting halacha. My kamar, says Rashi, my hilmiu, my me melach, what are these things? So he says that, so the Mishnah is basically telling us, you can't do a lot, you can do a little. So if you want to make a little bit for your, you know, to dip in your bread, that's totally fine. If you're going to make a lot, that's more problematic. When you're doing a lot, so it could look like maybe look like you're tanning. It looks like you're trying to some sort of preparation for after Shabbos. But if you do a small quantity, it's indicative of the fact that you're just using it right now to dip your bread. Doesn't look like any malacha, and that would be fine. Rabbi Yossi, so now right next part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi, Alohu Hilmi Bain Merubin Bain Muatin. So he says, what are you talking about? Why are you being machalic between a lot and a little? We don't do that by malachos in general, a lot and a little. And so what are you talking about? And now the question is, Ibay Lahu Rabbi Yossi La Asur Lahatir. So okay, he says let's not be machalic, but he doesn't clarify, does he want to be Mekel or Mahmir? What's the halacha here? Is he saying that even a lot of brine, even Hilmi is fine, or even Mei Malach is a problem? So we'll see. As you can imagine, Machlokes. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Lahatir Midalo Katani Rabbi Yossi Oser. He said, so Rabbi Yehuda says, listen, if Rabbi Yossi was answering it, we would say Rabbi Yossi Oser. Right, we've seen such a thing before. I don't know if it's such a common, particularly common phrase, but I have in my head. I've seen Rabbi Yossi Oser many times. The one time that I forgot where the but it's in Shabbos. The Gemara gave us a simen. Says and v'simen echa samach that Rabbi Yossi Oser is your simen samach. So we've seen this phrase before. Rabbi Yossi Oser. Rabbi Yossi's not afraid to say Rabbi Yossi Oser, and we probably phrase it like that. So from the fact that he doesn't say midelo katani Rabbi Yossi Oser sounds like he's coming lahatir. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Omar leya Rabba. So Rabba says back to him, hod midetani seifa. But take a look at the seifa. It says ve'elohin mei melech hamutaren. Rabbi Yossi says this is what's mutter. So mechlaud Rabbi Yossi laaser. So it sounds like Rabbi Yossi in his first statement is coming to aser it, and that actually is a rather good argument. Right, it sounds like, right, so Ella Amarabas, rather Rabba says, La'aser, that Rabbi Yossi is coming to aser it. And we're going to support this further. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan La'aser, Rabbi Yochanan also says La'aser, and if Rabbi Yochanan is not a good enough source, Tanya Nami Hachi, and we also have a Brisa that teaches this, Ein Osen Mei Melach Merubin, L'seis L'soch HaKvashin, Shebasoch Gistera. So we are not allowed to make a lot of Mei Melach, a lot of salt water, in order to put in it kvashim. Kvashim are pickled foods, Rashi says, yerek shekovesh leskayim, right? I think it might even be, I forgot if it's, if this is, if kvashim is the term for pickles in Hebrew, I forgot. But it's pickled foods. Shebesoch gistera. We've had that before. The broken piece of pottery, right? We were talking about a few blot ago about the tummy status of it. It might have been Sadi Hay or around there. I think it was Sadi Hay. Yeah, it was Sadi Hay. Sahal, I remember the. So there's a piece of broken pottery, what it's used for. So over here, Rashi says it's a different use of gistra we didn't know about. Kli shavur shel cheres, it's a broken piece of cheres. Veinu roi l'chol tashmish, kishalem umikt amaktin oso l'kach. And since it doesn't have, it can't be used for every purpose like a full kli, so therefore they set it aside for this purpose. What I gather from Rashi is that. I mean, maybe I don't really know about the pickling process. It could be that it doesn't treat kalim so well, or maybe you're familiar. Maybe it's not the best thing for kalim, so they don't mind using it for pickled. And obviously we're not talking about like shards right now. We learned about gister earlier. We're talking about like mama shards. It sounds like over here that we're talking about like a kli that's like broken. So you know, this is the kind of thing they use it for. That's what I imagine is the explanation based on Rashi. So they wouldn't use their best china, you know, for that. But the gistro is not, again, it's not like just like a broken shard of it over here, because I can't imagine pickling something in that. Anyway, so back to the Gemara. So some Reuben says, "Hakvashin b'shabasok gistra, aval osahu mei melach mu'atin." But you are allowed to make mei melach mu'atin, vochavahen pito v'nosin l'soch hatavshil, and you're allowed to do a small amount and dip your bread in it and put it in a dish. Rabbi Yossi, and in this version of the Brisa, Rabbi Yossi says, "V'chi v'pnei shahalu meruben v'halu mu'atin, halu asurin v'halu mutarin, yomru malacha meruba sura malacha mu'atas mutaris." But if you do this, where a little bit is a little, and this is a lot, and this is a little, and these are us, or this is mutter, you know what people are going to say? Yomru malacha meruba masura malacha mu'atas mutaris. People are going to say this all the time. That, you know, well, I can't make a big fire in Shabbos, but I can make a small fire in Shabbos. I can't cook a big pot of chilant, but I can cook a small portion of chilant. People are going to apply this big little chilik throughout all of the lamatas malachos, and we're going to have a big problem. You can't do this. Rather, clearly, he's being mocked. He says, we can't do this. Elu ve'elu asurin. Right? This price is explicit in accordance with what we said. So we had Rabba based on the Seifa of the Mishnah, plus Rabbi Yochanan, plus this explicit Braisa that Rabbi Yossi is machmer, ve'elu asurin, hein, ve'elu hein, me'mela chamutarin, and this is the one that you can do, though. Right? You can't do big and small if it's the same type. But what can you do? No sin shemen u'melach. You can put in oil and salt, o shemen u'mayim, and oil and water. U'bilvat shalo yitein mayim u'melach l'chatchila. As long as you don't put the water and the salt in first, because that will be very strong, and then it won't be noticeable that you're not doing something wrong. Okay, and now we have a siman over here. Right, another shout out to Zichru. So this simon is Azin Tzanon Ve'esrog Simon. So the next, we're going to quote three brisos, all from Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva. And the first one is going to be about Azin, the other is going to be about Tzanon, a radish, and the next one is going to be about an esrog. Though I believe a radish is going to be in the esrog one too. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva, Ein Osin Meimelach Azin, we don't make strong salt water on Shabbos, my Meimelech Azin. What's strong salt water? Rabba, and just is there a Rashi here? No. Okay. So what is Meimelech Azin? Rabba Rabbi Yosef Barabba Damri Tarvahu Kol Shahabetzot Safa Bahen. Anything that an egg is able to float in them, Rashi says. Koach HaMelech Ma'akeves Milishkoa. That's something that is so salted that an egg will not be able to sink into this. That is that's what we consider May Melech Azin. Okay. Vakama, how much is that? I'm a rabbiye. Tre tilsi milcha vitilsa maya. Two-thirds salt and one-third water. That's a lot of salt, right? No one's making that at your Seder, you know? Where it's two-thirds salt and one-third water. Lemai avdila. And what do people use this for? Where I've never heard of such an intense mixture. Rabahu says it's for muraisa. Muraisa is sheldagim, says Rashi. It's a brine of fish. Okay, so this is the brine. Muraisa is sheldagim, so a brine of fish, and that's what uses such a mei melach azim. Okay, and Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva, the second one. Ein molchin tsenon ubeitza b'Shabbos. We do not salt a radish or an egg on Shabbos. Rav Chizkiya Mishmei Abaye amar tsenon aser ubeitza muteres. He argues, no, a radish is fine. Sorry, no, a radish is aser and the beitza is not fine. Rashi says over here, Gimel v'dalet chatichos yachad. The problem is if you do three or four pieces together, shamelach ma'avdin v'nasin kashin v'havetikun, because the salt is ma'abed it, right? Meaning, right now, albed with an ayin doesn't destroy it, but it's tanning it and it's making it stronger, and therefore it's considered a tikun. I'm not sure if he's saying that this is actually the issur d'oraisa of ma'abed, or if it's a tolda of ma'abed, or if it's a gzeira to ma'abed. I'm not sure. But if you have a few pieces together, I guess I'm not sure. It sounds like the problem would what's the difference if there's a few pieces or a lot of pieces? Why should that make a difference? So it could be that it's simply in its appearance. I'm not sure. Okay, Amar Rav Nachman Mereish Hava Malachna Pugla. Originally, I would salt a pugla. Rashi says over here, pugla is a tsinon, a radish. It's Aramaic for radish. And Amina, and I justified doing such a thing because I said, "Of sude come of sidna." I'm making it worse. If you put salt a radish, it weakens its sharpness, blunts its sharpness, and therefore making it worse. So it should be okay. Mafsidna lay. Damar Shmuel, as Shmuel says, Pugla churfi male, that the sharpness of the pugla, of the radish, is a beneficial thing. Came into Shemana Laha, but once I heard this teaching that I just shared, this Brisa and the follow up, the Shemana Laha dechi also Ula, when Ula came, Va'amar b'Merava Malchi Kishri Memelach lo Mechalna. Tule, right? So what I heard. I came into Shemana Laha Dechi Asa Ula VaAmar B'Merava. When I heard from what Ula said, Ula came from Eretz Yisrael, and this is what he said. He said Kishrei, right? Memelach Malchi Kishrei Memelach Lo Malachna. So once I heard that Kishrei, that Rashi says Tilin Gavohin Eagle Al Eagle, that they pile up tons of salt on things, on or I guess on radishes. Now I don't do that anymore. Lo malachna anymore. Tvule vaday matbilna, but I definitely dip. I definitely, you know, I'm tovel. I dip things in salt, right? Rashi says b'shas achila matbilna v'achilna. In the moment of my eating, so I definitely dip it in salt, but to pour like the sprinkle of salt on it, and in large amounts, that is has the appearance of tanning, and that I don't do anymore. I've been chozer b'tshuva. Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva, the third brisa of Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chaviva, esrog tznon ubeitza. Right, so we have a radish in this one too, but it starts with an esrog. Esrog tznon ubeitza. You have an esrog or tznon ubeitza. Ilmale klipasan hachitzona ena yotzin bibnei me'ayim leolam. If it wasn't for their outer shell, they would not go through someone's intestines ever. Like, it would be impossible because of their something about their innards. They would not be able to be properly digested if not for their outer shell. Rashi says in name shemiskashrin umiskashin v'netzarin. Right, that they're get like tied up and they're hard and they get like held back within his body and they would never be digestive not for their outer shell. Okay, he also Rav Dimi Amar Me Olam Lotava Gavra Biyama De Stone. Rav Dimi said, never did it happen that a man drowned, he sunk into the Sea of Sodom. The Yama De Stone is Right? Rashi says, "Bipnei." Oh, so Rashi doesn't say, but it's the what do you think the Yam HaSodom is? Dead Sea, right? Yam HaMelach. This is the Sea of Salt, right? We know the Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. That there was some sort of salt sulfur upheaval of Sodom and Amorah and the other three cities, or the other two cities, if Belahit Soar was saved. And so now if you go there today, have you ever been to the Alameda? It's really amazing. It's you go in there, you can go as far into the water as you want, and you will not sink. You're just floating over there. And Rav Dimi said nobody ever sunk into the never drowned in this. You can't. Rav Yosef said regarding this teaching of Rav Dimi, Hafucha Sodom v'hafucha Mila. The Sodom was overturned, and this statement is an overturned statement. Rashi says, Dvarim harmurim b'hafuchin. Things are like backwards and strange about the statement. Just like Sodom was overturned, so is the statement. So why? Gavruhu delo tova, kishura tova. So it sounds like you're saying, Rashi just bit me up, that right? You say a person never sunk into the sea. So what? So like a person didn't, but does that mean like some like plank of wood, a kshura did? Is that like what kind of statement is this? Amar le Abaye, so Abaye explained, lo mi baye ka amar. He's saying, and I don't need to say this, like lo mi baye kshura. I don't need to say that a beam didn't sink, that a plank of wood didn't sink into the sea. Dafila b'chol miamos sheva olam lo tava, because that's not a chiddush. Right? I wouldn't need to tell you that a plank didn't sink into the sea, because planks never sink into the sea, any sea. But over here, but sheva olam lo tava elafilu gavra de tava b'chol miamos sheva olam. But humans are more likely to be able to sink into the sea. But Yamadis stone lo tava, that never happened. So that's explaining the statement, and that's what Rudimi meant. It's a big chiddush. Usually people drown or can drown in seas, but no one can. You can't drown in the Yamavelch. You can't drown in the Yamadis stone. So when I ask the Mai Nafkamina, okay, that's very nice. But, what does it have to do with anything? He hauled the Ravin, because it's in accordance with that which I guess took place with Rabin, Hava Shakil Va'aza Achori Rabbi Yirmiyah, that he was like he took himself and was going behind Rabbi Yirmiyah, Aguda Diyama the stone on like the bank or the edge of the Yama of the Yama of the stone. Amarlay, and he said, Mahu Lemimshe Mehani Maya B'Shavas. So am I allowed to So Rashi says over here, "Mi asr mishum refuah." So what they would like to do is they would mimshe, they would like wash themselves with this water. So this water is known to have healing qualities for your skin. If you need to do your exactly. So it had those medicinal benefits. And it seems we're going to be speaking about putting it in their eyes, which is very interesting because I can't imagine that was that's recommended in general. Rashi says, "Mi asr mishum refuah degazer rabana bechol revuos b'shabbos mishum shchika samamanin." We know in general we've spoken about this before because of shchika samamanin, grinding up these medicinal herbs. Which is a problem of tochen. There's a gzeira against all refuah. The elim rapos es ha'ayin, and these heal the eye, right? So imagine. So it seems that it wasn't the salt, but it was the water that would come without the salt. And they, don't try this at home. But they must have. They knew they were aware of some medicinal benefit that didn't, blind a person, by putting the salt water in their eyes. So there's a certain way they did it. But he wants to know: is that mutter? Mahu lemimshe mehani. Mehani Maya b'Shabbos Amar Lei Shapir Damis, no problem. Rashi says Delav Muchamilsa Delarfua Avid, right? Because the whole the gzeira is only if it's Muchamilsa, if it's obvious that it's part it's Ravua. Ava Pisha Rapin Shari De Tama Derfua Da Sira Lesa El Gzeira, because it's only in the Derbanan Shema Yishchok Sarmanin De Dami Latrina Shehu Av Malacha. So it's only if it's comparable, but if it doesn't look like any type of Ravua, then it wouldn't be a problem. Mahu lemimatz ulemiftach. So what about like squeezing and opening, right? Mitz is like juice, like thing. Mitz is like juice that was like something that was squeezed. So you're squeezing your eye and then opening it. Rashi says loshon ein me'amitzin esames otzem einav kishu rochets mehen b'shabbes. Meaning, so right, so it's like, I guess it's not like applying the salt water to the eye, but it's putting it on the eye and then opening it and closing it so that the salt is kept out and the water is kept in. Again, I wouldn't recommend trying this at home. So are you allowed to do that? Amar lei, zulo shamati. I never heard a specific answer to this shaila, or I never heard an answer to this specific shaila. Kayotze bashamati, but I did hear a similar answer to a similar question, or a similar halacha. Dom Reb Zera, that Reb Zera said, Zimnin amar le mishmei de Rav Masa, Zimnin amar le mishmei de Mar Ukva. Sometimes he quoted Rav Masa, sometimes he quoted Mar Ukva. He said in both their names, and this is the teaching. V'tavayhu mishmei davua de Shmuel ve'Levi. And both of them would say this. He quoted either Rav Masna or he quoted Rav Masna and Mar Ukva, and one of them would quote it in the name of Shmuel's father, like the famous Shmuel's father, and one of them would quote it in the name of Levi. Anyway, what do they say? Omri d'chad. One of them would say, Davu of Shmuel of Levi Amrin. Chad Amar. One would say Yain besocha ayin aser al gava ayin mutter. One of these medicinal teachings that I'm applying these on Shabbos is putting wine on the or in your eye is usser. Putting it over the eye is mutter. And again, it would sound like we're talking about Rashi says dami to pasach usser de mucha milsa, right? Where you're putting it inside the eye and you're opening and closing. It's very clear that you're doing some medicinal practice, and that would be a problem. V'chad amar, and one says Rok tafel, afilo al gav ayin. So if you have saliva, putting in, so right, Rashi says shelo tam klum mishinir mishnaso. Rok tafel is this like the so it's Rashi says it's early morning spit basically. It's someone who didn't eat anything all day that when he first wakes up mishnaso from his sleep. What a pleasant thought, but that type of saliva, early morning saliva, is more effective in healing than later on saliva that's been changed by eating and drinking. So that he's allowed to put on even rak tofel afilo al gav ayin aser because it's so effective that you can't even put it over your eye. It's very clear that if you're doing this, it's for medicinal reasons. So tistayim, so you should conclude davu d'shmuelhu damar yain misochayin aser al gav yain mutter. We should try to say that maybe that's the teaching of Shmuel's father. Why? Midamar Shmuel, because Shmuel said shora adam pito b'yayin v'nosno al gav ayin b'shabbes, because Shmuel said that a person can soak his bread in wine, and he could also put it on his eye on Shabbos. So d'shmiale miman. So whom did he hear this from? Lav d'shmiale miavua. Didn't he learn this from his father? Right. So we see that Shmuel. Right. We don't know who said it. We don't know if this one is the teaching of Levi or this one's the teaching of Shmuel's father. But we have Shmuel saying a similar teaching. So it must be that Shmuel's father is the one who said this one. But according to your reasoning, we have another teaching about Shmuel, that Shmuel says, a rok tafel. You can't even put it on top of the eye. So, whom did he hear from? If you say the same idea, that that's from his father, El Levi, Velochada, Amar, Elochada, Shmiele, Mavua, Vachada, Shmiele, Milevi. Right? But then Levi didn't say anything. Right, Levi v'lo chad amar elachad shmiel Levi avua v'chad shmiel Levi Levi. Right, v'lo yidinan hay mevua hay me Levi. We don't know who says what because right. Just to backtrack, just to clarify that it's not complicated. It just could be said it in a complicated way. The there's right? So there were two teachings, right? Quoted by one Amora, quoting two different Amoraim that he heard, and they were always quoting two other, or they were quoting two Amoraim. So one of them was Levi, and one of them is Shmuel's father. And we don't know which teaching was attributed to Levi and which one's to Shmuel's father. Then we said, hey, we know Shmuel says one of those two teachings, so it must be that that one's the one that Shmuel's father said. And we said, no, the truth is, both of the teachings, we've also heard Shmuel say them. So we can't conclude that, right? And we know Levi said one of them, so we can't conclude. So we can't conclude that anyone was Shmuel's father's teaching because Shmuel said it because Shmuel said both. So rather, Shmuel must have heard one from his father, one from Levi, but we can't determine which one's which. Amar Mar Ukva Amar Shmuel. Now the teaching of Shmuel. Related. Shora Adam Kilorin me Erev Shabbos Nosin Algav Enov the Shabbos the Enoch Hoshesh. So a person is allowed to take. I looked this up before. Collyrium, it's called. I was looking it up. It is a modern medicine. Are you familiar with this? Yeah. So yeah, I looked up online. It was it's some like eye cleanser, you know, applicant thing. So you're allowed to do this from you're allowed to soak it Erev Shabbos, like you guys prepare Erev Shabbos. V'nosin al gav einav b'Shabbos, and you can even place it on your eyes on Shabbos. V'eino choshesh, and there's no concern over here. Rashi says. Right, the second white line of Rashi. But nosin agavedav the didei kevan da tzurchuva the sharusa me'er Shabbos. Since in order to prepare this thing, this calirium kilorin, you have to do it erev Shabbos. Ika hekera, there's a hecker, right? He's doing this before. You have to prepare it before Shabbos. So there's a hecker v'lekel amigzar, and therefore the gzeira doesn't apply. Uman dechazinahu. And someone who sees him suffer derechitza ba'almahi because suffer shehu yayin, right? Meaning, so what Rashi is actually saying, it's interesting. There's two concerns about this gzeira of refuah because of shchikas salmonin, right? One is that you yourself might come to grind, you know, to grind these salmonin, but also others might see you and I guess think you're doing it or do it themselves. So over here, it doesn't look like shchikas salmonin. It looks like you're just washing your eye in general with water. Who knows that it's a medicinal thing? And also, you're not going to do it yourself because the preparation has to be done before Shabbos, and that's a good enough hecker for you to not confuse you. And remember, and keep in mind that this is all in the context of what we were seeing yesterday about Shmuel and being a doctor, like knowing a lot of these things. So just it's interesting to see him, you know, passing in practice. Ve'eno choshesh. Okay, Bar Levi havakai kameda Mar Ukva. Bar Levi was standing before Mar Ukva. Chazaya dehu mayetz v'pasach. He saw him doing like the close eye open eye trick. Amar Le, he said to him, Kule hai vade lo shara Mar Shmuel. He says, for sure Shmuel would not permit what you're doing to the extent you're doing it. Rashi says, demucha milsa, because what you're doing is like you're putting by your eye, opening, close. It's very clear you're doing some remedy, and that is going to be a problem. Shchicha salmonin. Shalach le Rabbi Yana the Mar Ukva the Shader Lan Mar Mehanach Kilorin. So de Mar Shmuel. So Rabbi Yana reached out to Mar Ukva. I think Mar Ukva was very wealthy, if I remember correctly, and he asked him, "Send me lots of this Kilorin of that Shmuel uses, right, Doctor Shmuel." Because over here, Mar Shmuel, right? Mr. Shmuel. Shmuel recommends, prescribes this kilorin. Can you send me a lot of it? Shlach le, he sent the message back. Shaduri mishadar nalach. I'm definitely going to send it to you. Delo te matzar ayin. See, Anna. So that you shouldn't say I'm stingy. You shouldn't say I'm tsar ayin. I'm going to send you a lot because you shouldn't say I'm stingy. Elohachi amar Shmuel. Tova tipas tzonein shachris. It's better to have a drop of cold water in the morning, v'rachitzas yadayim v'raglayim b'cham and b'arvis, and wash your hands and feet in warm water at night, mikol kilorin shebaolam, then all the kalirium in the world. Meaning, he's saying, I'm going to send you just to show that I'm not just making this up because I'm stingy. So I'm going to send you all the kalirium you need. But I would recommend a better remedy is having cold water in the morning, drinking it. Drinking it. Rashi. Let's say spain up. No, sorry. Rashi says putting it in his eye. And washing your hands and feet at night. This is going to be very good. Nami me'irei hainayim, Rashi says. It's good for your eyes. So better than kalirium is a little bit of cold water in the morning, and then your hands and feet in warm water at night. And that's so much better than kalirium. But I'm still going to send it to you because I don't want you to think that I'm just telling you this. I have a better hetzah for you because I'm being stingy. I'm happy to share. Tanya Rabbi Hochi, we have a brisa as well. Amar Rabbi Yemuna, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Tova Tipas Tzon and Chakras, Rechitzas Yadayim, Raglayim, Arvis, Mikol Kilar, and Sheva Olam. Same teaching. Hu Haya Omer, he would say, Yad La'ayin Tiktzatz, Yad La'chotem Tiktzatz, Yad La'peh Tiktzatz, Yad La'ozen Tiktzatz, Yad La'chasuda Tiktzatz, Yad La'ma Tiktzatz, Yad La'fi Tavas Tiktzatz. Okay. Where are we holding? Okay, we're already 36 minutes in. Okay. So this last brisa is... There's a lot to discuss about all these different pieces, but it says in theory a hand deserves to be cut off if it touches any of these body parts. Unclear. It'll be part of the discussion of at what point. If you touch your eye at one point, your mouth, your nose, is it in the morning before you wash your hands? But we'll hold off on this brisa for now.